Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. We are a week plus away from the Super Bowl, but that doesn't mean we're not going to talk about it. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We welcome in, as we do each and every Friday, one of our favorite people. It is Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. Jeffrey, good afternoon. How are you?
Yeah, good afternoon. Last week, I felt like there was some tension between us, between you and I. I think I'm really excited about the nice positive note today. I feel like our friendship's going to really show its true colors today.
See, there's never tension on my end. It's just, you know, I'm here for entertainment. I'm here for you to entertain me. So please, dance.
Oh.
Dance for me.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see you. Oh, so you get to decide whether there was tension or not.
And no, just like that, there's tension.
I don't get to decide. I don't get any say. There we go again.
I mean, whose name is on the show, Jeff? That's all I'm saying.
Good point. Respect.
Hey, listen.
What's up?
Let's just start here. You were there at the AFC Championship last week. What was your biggest takeaway from that game?
It's the most annoying thing of all, and it's that the Chiefs step up in big moments. I know, not annoying to me, but I know it's annoying to a lot of people, that they are so relentless in those moments, and that is exactly the type of attitude and postseason kind of vibe that is required of a team on the brink of being called a dynasty. They just have it. And I think that while I'm not one to like hate on Lamar for the game or the Ravens in general, but I mean, it was very clear to me, as I think it was clear to a lot of people, but being in the stadium, it was very clear to me that the Chiefs stepped up and relished that big moment. Whereas it felt to me like the Ravens got a little bit tense, got a little tight, and kind of got away from what made them such a strong team leading up to that game.
You know, there had been a lot of reasons why Lamar and the Ravens had not been able to take the next step coming into this season. There were the Jackson injuries. There was Greg Roman, the offense, the lack of weapons. I thought we had solved all that. You know, here comes Zay Flowers and Odell Beckham. Isaiah likely emerges. You get rid of Greg Roman. You bring in a new offensive coordinator. And yet you get to the playoffs and in the big spot, there's nothing from Jackson virtually. I mean,
what's it got further? I feel like they did dismiss some of those stereotypes about them. But to your point, I mean, I heard someone recently saying this too. I don't know if it's Orlovsky, but it hit home with me too. And I'm not one to ever pretend that I'm like a real football mind. Like, I just talk to people and tell you what I hear from them. But for me, just from like my layman's eye, I often felt like Lamar, for instance, like there was moments where I'm like, just run, dude, go, do that thing you do. And he didn't. And like, I'm not going to sit here and say, was he tired? Was he worn down? Was he gassed? Or was he trying to be the guy that people think he can't be by being like the pocket thrower? I don't know. It just felt like to me, there was these moments in that game where when they were getting down, they should have just resorted on instincts. And instead, they just got tight and overthought it. That, to me, was the difference between what the Chiefs did and what the Chiefs do, by the way. And I've talked to Mahomes about that. Like, recognizing something that he said recently was, I interviewed him a couple days ago, and he talked about how what he learned this year is that being the best quarterback for your team in that moment is different than being the best quarterback for your stats and for things like MVP. And that's not a shot at Lamar. That was just Patrick talking about himself. But I feel like Lamar could take something from that.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. So what's the path back here for him to get back in this situation? Because In these spots, all you ever hear from coaches and players is you don't understand how difficult it is to get here.
Yeah, I think they're actually built to get back. To me, they had a bad game in a tight moment, but to me, I think that they're going to be just as dangerous next season. they don't strike me as a team that's going to have some big drop off. Zay Flowers, I think, will learn from that big moment. He seemed to be a little bit of a different person, given some of those mistakes that he made, than he had been previously. And big moments sometimes do that. If it doesn't happen in the championship game, guess what? It often also can happen in the Super Bowl. And I think that they'll be a team that gets back. For whatever reason, they just strike me as having... They do, I believe, have the championship pedigree. I think that now they just need to have that championship experience.
We were having a little debate off air that we were eventually going to turn over to the listeners so that they could call in and give us their thoughts. We wanted to get yours as well. Jim Harbaugh now taking over the Chargers. John Harbaugh still with the Ravens. Both have been to the Super Bowl before. Jim with the Niners, John with the Ravens. They faced each other, interestingly enough. Starting right now, who gets back to the Super Bowl quicker, Jim Harbaugh or John Harbaugh?
Ooh, that's a great question. Yeah, I mean, I think you've got some good responses on that one. I'm going to tend to be practical and say John, because of how close he just got. It's not to say that I don't think that Jim will eventually get there. He proved it with the 49ers that he can take a team and quickly get them there. So it is very possible. I think just practically speaking, to me, John was just on the doorstep. And, you know, the Chargers are a talented team, but I'm still in the Chargers got to show it. I'm sick of hearing them talk about their potential and what they're worth. I think that John, despite the outcome of that game, they proved this year that they are very capable of getting to the championship. So I will say John.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN.
I like that one.
Oh, good. Thank you. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter.
He was complimenting me, so you didn't need to say
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I mean, Jeff, I didn't want to have to do that for you, but I'm sitting here, and it's like, what are you thanking him for, Carlin?
Yeah, you're right. Also the way Carlin said it, too, like he really took the credit there.
Like, yes. Leaning into it.
Jeff, you're so lucky we asked you that question.
Yes, thanks.
Did you ever get down on your knees? Ever get down on your knees and thank the good Lord above that you got a chance to be on this show?
Yeah. It's like someone says, like, the way, like, if someone says, like, that's a nice, this whole thing? Like, that's what you just did. Oh, that question?
Okay. You know, we have had many conversations this year about the coaches, whether it's Belichick, Vrabel, and then the other guys that came up that we expected to get jobs, a guy like Ben Johnson, who were all available this offseason. What surprises you the most? Who surprises you the most that they're not coaching in 2024?
Vrabel surprises me the most. To a degree, I understand Belichick in a weird way. I know that that doesn't really make sense. Greatest of all time. Well, I don't know that that's necessarily the case. Tunchel has more wins. But, you know, Belichick, he still wants to coach. He's still capable of turning over an organization. Vrabel, to me, though, is like, I think Mike Vrabel is the best coach in the NFL, personally. I think he's the best head coach. If I was the owner of an organization and he became available, I would take a good hard look at my head coach, even if I planned on keeping him, to decide if I should upgrade with Mike Vrabel. I am not of the opinion that any of these jobs necessarily even deserved him, but I am shocked that they didn't come calling. And I think it's this thing where we're suddenly seeing maybe these owners are afraid of, like, the alpha coach coming in and kind of running the organization themselves, which I don't think would be the case with Vrabel, but I understand from a personality standpoint, he is an alpha. I don't get it. What I will say, though, is this is going to be the worst possible season for a head coach to be on the hot seat. Like, if you are Mike McCarthy, for instance, you are going to be looking over your shoulder constantly. And they might be anyway. If you're Todd Bowles in Tampa, or if you're Brian Daboll with the Giants, like, you're already, the hot seat is not fun. When you have Mike Vrabel and Bill Belichick literally already on the open market and available, that is a hot seat that I don't think that we've necessarily really ever seen before.
I think that's an excellent point. We were going to ask a quick follow-up on Belichick, if you had a moment. Is there anything you think he can do or would be willing to do over the next few months to kind of, I mean, does he need to do some PR work to try to ease the narrative as to how people view him? Like, some of these guys, they get on TV and suddenly things change.
Yeah, he might do that. I mean, I thought about that with Vrabel, too. Like, does he need to do something like that? No, I don't think so. And maybe they're two different beasts, but, like, personally, I think that their stock is going to just continue to rise just by sitting out and letting other teams look like idiots for them. Look, the resume is there, and there will be an alpha owner at some point who will say, like, I'm good with that. That's what I want. I want someone to come in and fix this organization. I want the CEO that I can put in front of my shareholders and they're going to believe in. So, no, I don't think that they necessarily need to fix their reputation. I think that they should let other teams fail and ultimately make them more coveted. And by the way, we saw that with John Gruden every single year. John Gruden had his flaws when he came off the Bucs, when he got fired by them and went to Monday Night Football. Every year, he became more valuable. And to your point, he was on TV. But he became more valuable every year that he was out of coaching than he was the second that he got fired.
All right, so listen, before we let you go, let's address this alleged tension that you're speaking of from last week.
It's not tension. Tension's not the right word.
Well, you used it. I just followed up on it. You said tension.
It was a lack of – I'm correct. It was a – I don't know. It was – you have a
– Well, here's what it was. Here's what it was.
I told you I hadn't seen a movie.
Yes.
You couldn't understand that maybe you have now grown so old that people wouldn't really necessarily understand that movie. Yeah, it wasn't tension.
Well, let's clarify that whole situation. You basically called me a baby boomer for what you said. For me getting on you for not having seen Roadhouse.
It's not Roadhouse,
but,
right.
Let me ask you this question, Jeff.
I'll give you a moment. It's your show.
Jeff, who texted you right after that and said, you haven't seen Roadhouse?
No, she was sitting. My wife was sitting in the room. But to what I said, like, she said, you haven't seen Roadhouse. My wife, by the way, is rocked the cradle a little bit, 2 years older than me. So, you know, she's kind of a little bit
of a... So you just called your wife a baby boomer on national radio. Good job.
Here right now. She's not here right now, okay? And she's not, you know, I'm a millennial. I was born in 1981. So. but what I will say is, it's not that. It's not that you're old, which maybe you are. It's that Roadhouse, I, like, for instance, quote Animal House all the time, and it deserves it. It is an iconic movie with very quotable lines. Roadhouse is not that. That is my bigger issue.
I wouldn't say it's
Roadhouse
a quotable
is not a
movie,
cultural
but it's a classic.
Phenomenon. Big Lebowski might be lesser known, but it is a more quotable movie.
Well,
like,
that's
name
true.
One iconic scene or quote from Roadhouse.
I don't have your time for your semantics, okay?
Carlin, you got to get out of this round. You got to get out of this round. Like, you're going to lose the round 10-8.
No, it's fine. You got to go.
This has become my Vietnam, and I have to get out of it, okay?
We got to go. Okay.
Talk next week. Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter. The NBA trade deadline is 6 days away. So how many legit title contenders exist? It's next. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, including on TuneIn.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not
not cash, with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
6ers star Joel Embiid suffered a lateral meniscus injury in his left knee on Tuesday.
They got the MRI, and the news is what you've been told, and I don't think we're going to know much yet until after the weekend.
It's terrible news. You know, obviously, the MVP consideration is out the window. Their chances for home court advantage in the first round take a major hit right now.
At the end of the day, man, it's about Larry O's, right? It's about winning a championship and having an opportunity. Without Embiid, there is no opportunity.
Well, we got a little bit of a response from the king himself. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and on the TuneIn app. When you're trying to find quality candidates, all the searching, screening, and interviewing can become a job itself. You need Indeed, the all-in-one platform that makes it easy to interview, screen, and hire quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Breaking news?
I'm sorry. LeBron James now chiming in. We know earlier that Rich Paul reached out to Brian Windhorst, as he told us, to say, hey, he's not getting traded. We want to make sure that you all know that. We are not asking to be traded, and the Lakers are not trading him. Okay. But LeBron now chiming in on the Joel Embiid controversy. Here is the quote, literally from 7 minutes ago on two tweets. Where are all the media outlets, TV media personalities, hot takes that talk so much blank about Joel Embiid, about missing those games when he knew what he was dealing with? Now he's out with an injury because of it. Not one person has went back on TV or their dumbass podcast and apologized to that man. No accountability. Three garbage cans. In other words, trash.
Three garbage cans. I love the emojis.
Not one.
I love the emojis being read on air.
Yeah. Three garbage cans.
I got a theory. I got a theory for you. If you line up the timing of all of this, what are the odds, just asking a question, but what are the odds LeBron choosing to sit out in Boston last night was maybe a little bit of a shot to the NBA as to how he feels and maybe how other players feel about this new 65-game rule? Because that was a huge game. It's the only time of year the Lakers are going to visit the Celtics. We see them play twice a year, once in L.A., once in Boston. That is the most storied rivalry in the NBA, two of the most storied franchises in the NBA. LeBron had just played a couple nights prior at Atlanta. Right? He gave us 35 minutes. It was not a back-to-back. He had the night off. Then they were in Boston. Davis was banged up. LeBron sits out as well. And then today, when everyone's tweeting about the trade speculation, maybe this tweet is thrown out as a, you idiots don't get it. You idiots don't get it. Me sitting out, me with the time hourglass, it's not about me wanting out of LA. Sitting out, wake up. The 65-game rule is flawed, and we're not going to be forced to play and risk injury and long-term career prospects. What do you think about that theory?
I'm not going to call it ridiculous.
Okay. To start?
I could see it. I think that he might be a little bit more vocal about it moving forward, because it's not like LeBron doesn't have a direct line to Adam Silver if he wants it. Here's my problems. You agreed to it. I mean, like, everybody agreed to this being a thing, right? So That's a problem. My bigger here issue, though, with LeBron is, how is it that I or anyone else forced Joel Embiid to play? fans, media, they're going to criticize the situation. For the record, we didn't really get on it on the show because you don't know what's going on with Embiid. And at this point, it's just patently absurd to be that worried about the MVP versus anything else. It just is, okay? He won one last year, and the biggest knock on this guy is that he has not won a championship as of yet. So if Joel went out there the other night because he was feeling public pressure to play and got hurt, I'm sorry. I'm not taking any responsibility for that, and nobody else out there takes responsibility for that. There is one person that is in charge of Joel Embiid playing, and that's Joel Embiid. That's it. So it has nothing to do with any of that. So, LeBron, if you're saying that he succumbs in that spot to all of the public pressure to get out there, who is that on? It's not on us. How is that on us? You're right. He knew what was going on with his body, so why is he on the court?
He also, I'd love to know, the blame to me, if there's going to be blame assigned, feels like it should be headed towards the decision of the Sixers to not list him on the injury report that Saturday morning against the Nuggets.
Clearly.
That was the biggest problem, because if you knew he was on the injury report against the Nuggets, you knew there was a chance he might not play. So when you rule him out later in the day, at least it's understandable. People will still gripe, but it's understandable. Then he goes on to miss the Portland game and the Golden State games, and then people realize the guy's genuinely hurt. He's not ducking Jokic. He's not load managing. He's genuinely hurt. But instead, the Sixers didn't have him on the injury report, and then a few hours before one of the most highly anticipated games of the year, because we're transitioning into basketball season, and it's a Saturday night game, there's no NFL competition, and it's Jokic versus Embiid, people are getting excited about it. And a couple hours before, he's immediately ruled out, and everyone thinks, here comes this BS load management thing again, because of how we've been conditioned the previous years. This is how it is. We have been dealing with this for years, so people are naturally going to think that's what's happening there. So there's criticism. He sits out in Portland. No one really notices it because we're all talking about the AFC and NFC championship games, all that fallout. Then he tries to force it in the Golden State game, and he gets hurt further. It's very unfortunate, but you're right. He made the decision to go out there. That's on Embiid. As to any of the heat that came from Saturday, that's on the Sixers for the way they managed the injury report. And the NBA agrees because they were fined $75,000 for that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's 100% on the Sixers for that. And all of this together comes back to the once again ridiculous, ridiculous notion that we had to put guardrails into place to get guys to play to do their jobs. I don't expect everyone to play 82 games. I fully respect what an NBA season and what any professional sports season can do to the body. It can beat the daylights out of it. And some days, you're just going to need a day off. But we can't acknowledge that at least there have been people that have taken advantage of that, thus leading us to putting this in place. How is that our fault? How is that our fault? And actually, to support LeBron for a second, if you're out there and you're getting on Embiid for not playing and not getting to the 65-game mark, you're an idiot. Because of the MVP, you're an idiot. Like, the biggest thing has more to do with him winning a title. You want to talk about Tyrese Halliburton and him rushing back? Well, that's $41 million, bro. Like, that's why he's rushing back. Again, not on us. I think it's so ridiculous of LeBron to have this take, suggesting that somehow it's somebody else's fault here and everybody needs to apologize here. Oh, God, shut up.
The NBA has become an individual sport. It's not a team sport. The focus is on awards. The focus is on contracts. The focus is on stats. All the attention on Embiid's injury, none of it has been paid to the Sixers' chances of winning a championship. That's one of the things I love about the Knicks winning again last night. We're finally starting to have the discussion as to whether or not they can compete in the East, but that will only come after we have the discussion as to whether or not Jalen Brunson wins the MVP, which again speaks to the individualized nature of what this sport has become.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. How close is Patrick Mahomes really to getting into GOAT status? We will answer that question in just moments after Joe has this from Granger.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have both the knowledge and the experience to answer all your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Carlin versus Joe on ESPN Radio.
Here's Hart spinning on Siakam, fires across, Brunson, right wing three, ties the game at 91.
JB's an all-star, 11th an all-star. As my good friend Harry Douglas says, that boy bad, and we have a tie ball game here in the Garden.
Nice job, Monica McNutt, on the call last night on Knicks Radio. 40 for Jalen Brunson. And yeah, I think it is safe to say, but I don't feel right saying it. I think there's only one person that really should be saying it. Harry Douglas, what do you think about Jalen Brunson?
Jalen Brunson, I think he is one of the best free agent acquisitions in NBA history, especially over the last 25, 30 years. What he's been able to do, but it's only three words that can sum up Jalen Brunson. And for me, it's that boy bad, fellas. It's just as simple as that.
He, of course, co-host of Freddie and Harry joining us right now. Harry, when we're looking at this game, and we are going to talk about Patrick Mahomes being in the Super Bowl again. It is his fourth trip in 5 years. He has been to the AFC Championship game every year that he has been a starting quarterback. When do we have the discussion about Patrick Mahomes being in the GOAT class?
If he's able to win this third Super Bowl, we're already having a conversation just because Patrick Mahomes is that spectacular at his craft, at the game of football, and making everyone around him better. But I think you really can dive into it. And I said this last year on Get Up. I said on First Take, I don't think it's going to take 7 Super Bowls. Patrick Mahomes is able to get 4 Super Bowls. At that point, he will be deemed the GOAT, the greatest of all time, in my opinion.
Okay. You and Canty were having a tremendous conversation regarding Brock Purdy and the idea of what we could be looking at in the very near future regarding a contract. He's played 2 years. This is going to be the conclusion of his second year, but he's on a 4-year deal because he was picked in the 7th round, not the 1st. What do you think the Niners are going to be up against here?
I would say this. You're going to have to address it at some point. I think really year 3 is when you really want to hone in on that contract for Brock Purdy. Now, if he is able to win the Super Bowl, do I believe Brock Purdy is a $60 million quarterback? No. And then when you look at, you know, what guys are making, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, you have a guy, Daniel Jones, who's making $40 million a year just to be the Big Apple turnover here in New York. So pretty much do the numbers and put those in your head. So I'll say about $45 to $46 million per year for Brock Purdy. He's been to an NFC Championship game in year 1. He's been to a Super Bowl in year 2. And lo and behold, don't let him mess around and win this Super Bowl. in 2024-23 season.
Harry Douglas, co-host of Freddie and Harry, also big part of Playoff Preview with the Pros, which airs all weekend long here on ESPN Radio, along with Chris Canty and myself. Harry, when you look at how the 49ers have done this with Brock Purdy as their quarterback, how difficult is it for a team to replicate the way they have constructed this team?
I mean, if everyone could do it, you would see, you know, multiple teams across the board being able to do it. And it's not just Brock Purdy, right? It's the San Francisco 49ers across the board. When you look at a fifth-round draft pick in George Kittle, Fred Warner's a third-round draft pick. I believe Dre Greenlaw is a fifth-round draft pick. D'Amador Lenore, other guys in their secondary, they're a higher draft pick. So they've been able to, you know, hit on their draft picks of over the last, I would say, 6 years. You look at Hufanga, who's not playing. He's a fifth-round draft pick. They've been able to hit in the draft and been able to also develop their talent. That's another thing. It's another thing to find these guys, but you have to be able to develop the talent as well and put them in the best positions possible to become successful. And if any organization could do it, trust me, they would be able to do it as frequent as we've seen the San Francisco 49ers. That's why you see so many guys in their front office go off and be general managers of the places and have other titles and other roles, because they've been able to master the draft picks, and not just the first and second rounders, but rounds 3 through 7, but also the free agent market.
We've been asking everyone this question today. We wanted to get your thoughts on it. Jim Harbaugh taking over as the head coach of the Chargers. Brother John Harbaugh, who he faced in a Super Bowl almost a decade ago when Jim was with the Niners and John still with the Ravens. John also still with the Ravens. Which of those two gets to the Super Bowl first?
I don't know the answer to that, honestly, because they haven't gotten the AFC named Patrick Mahomes. And what we have been shown over the last 6 years is that Patrick Mahomes is going to be in the AFC championship game, so you already take one slot away. And then you have you have 11 quarterbacks that are trying to fight for one slot, literally, in the AFC conference. So, honestly, I don't even know the answer to that question.
Last one, Harry. Harry Douglas with us, of course, Freddie and Harry, right after us on ESPN Radio. So you're as locked in on the Atlanta Falcons, as close to the situation as anybody. Who's playing quarterback for the Falcons next year, Harry?
Either Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, and because of the contract with the Denver Broncos, let him go, and, you know, the Atlanta Falcons signed him to the vet minimum. We know the Denver Broncos are on the hook for the rest of that money. You talk about being cheap in those regards. Or we don't know right now if Terry Fontenot and company, if those guys at number 8 want to move up and try to get into a closer range, move up to 2, or move up to 1, or move up to 3. Now, I don't see those first three teams moving out of their spots, but anything is possible. So we know it's going to be somebody. It can't be what we had the last 2 years in Atlanta, because that was incompetent quarterback play, and my eyes are still hurting from it.
Last one, Harry. As an out-of-shape, balder man, is there anything that I could ever do, certainly not athletic-related, that would get me classified as that boy bad?
Hey, just be great in life. You can be great in life. You can be the best husband. And damn it, Carlin, you would make that boy bad. You can eat the most chicken wings. And Carlin, I'm going to say that boy bad. You can have a dad bod. And I'm going to say that boy bad, because Patrick Mahomes, you're not the only one, Carlin, with a dad bod. Patrick Mahomes has it too. And he's the best player in the world right now at the position. So there are not many stipulations. You just have to be great at something. Great at it.
We are all Patrick Mahomes today. Thank you, Harry. Harry Douglas, love you'll it. Catch him later this afternoon. Freddie and Harry, and of course, all weekend long on Playoff Preview with the Pros with Harry and Canty. It's Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80. Speaking of Patrick Mahomes, we know that he is in that conversation right now, but he's not there yet. And you're not going to believe who agrees with us about that. Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Carlin versus Joe. Pizza money alert.
Pizza, pizza.
0-1 last night, had the Pacers against the Knicks. Credit to the Knicks for coming on strong in the fourth to not only win and cover. So tonight, we're going to go against the Pacers. Give me the Sacramento Kings minus the 3 over Indiana. This is a situational play. Sacramento rested, did not play last night. Pacers, not only did they play at the Garden last night and then fly back to Indianapolis, this is their sixth game in 9 nights. This is not going to close at 3. Some of the books are already moving to 3.5, so act quickly if you want to follow. Pizza money number 1, Sacramento Kings, minus 3 over the Indiana Pacers.
You know what that feels?
What's that?
Spite-filled.
Spite-filled?
Yeah. Oh, you screwed me last night? Guess what? I'm going against you tonight.
So we did a good old-fashioned first to 10 sweat on Instagram Live last night.
And by the way, I caught it. Especially, I enjoy watching it on Instagram Live with the army, what I assume are some sort of soldiers, G.I. Joe, hanging in the background.
Close. WWE figures. Those are okay. WWE action figures. We had Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, and The Undertaker all make special appearances last night on the first to 10 sweat.
Well, fantastic. I enjoyed it, though. I watched it last night, and I encourage all others to follow Mr. Fortenbaugh on Instagram to watch that when you do it, because it's very entertaining. It's at Jay Fortenbaugh. All right, hit it.
This is about the best player in the history of the game, Patrick Mahomes. Tom Brady could be the GOAT because he got the Super Bowls. He's the best player in the history of the game. We are taking for granted greatness.
If he wins the Super Bowl and he walks away, his career is better than those that we have considered in that GOAT conversation at different times. Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, etc. He's better.
Patrick Mahomes is in another world. He's by himself. He's looking at Joe Montana. He's looking at Tom Brady. That's who he's looking at. He's not looking at nobody currently that's playing. He's that great.
No lies told. No lies told at all. Carla versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and on the TuneIn app. Joseph, you know, the thing that really caught my attention was the divisional game. That's when, as I said last week, that was when I really started to think, you know what? He very well could catch Brady here. But the discussion is going to grow more and more during the coming week, as you would expect. He could win his third by the age of 28. Right now, where do you put him in that discussion as potentially ending his career as being the greatest of all time?
I don't put him one, so no, he's not there.
No, but I mean, discussion. Can the discussion happen?
It's a good discussion because he's generational. He's not a guy like Jalen Hurts last year who was going for his first, and all of a sudden we're like, where is he in the pantheon of great quarterbacks? Well, it's very early. He's only been starting for a couple years. Mahomes' body of work and the fact that he's doing it yet again this season warrants a discussion as to his place in history. Yes, I'm absolutely on board with the discussion. I'm just not on board with putting him one all overall.
Okay. Well, I'm not putting him one overall yet either. And somebody else isn't even putting him in their top two right now, but it's not who you would expect. It's his father, Patrick Mahomes Sr., yesterday on Greeny with Evan Cohen.
Do you think he's the greatest quarterback of all time right now?
That's still to be determined. Still has a way to go.
I have mad respect for Tom Brady, and I grew up as a Joe Montana fan. Those guys are that ilk. So he's on the right trajectory, but right now I would still say those guys are better. I mean, I think he's the most athletic quarterback that we've seen. I think he can do a lot more things than some of those other guys could do, but the name of the game is winning, and those guys won at a great rate. Right now, Patrick, you know, is doing what he needs to do, but those guys, to me, still have the nod. But, I mean, he's coming.
So I understand it with not putting him in Montana's class yet. I think he's right there, though, if he wins this game. I think he's absolutely number two. I would put him in front of Montana at number two if that's the case. Now, when I look at what he could possibly accomplish, I think it's definitely within the realm to think that he could get to five or six by the time he retires, because I'm not going to sit here and tell you he's going to play till he's 45. I can't make that assumption. It took Brady, I mean, it sounds silly to say the sentence this way, Joe. It took Brady till he was 45 to get seven of them.
There you go.
You know, because he did go 10 years without winning one. I actually think it's a lot more likely that Patrick Mahomes ends up in that 5 to 6 range if he retires when he's 38, 39. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, those are the years I'm going to need to see, because it's real easy in a guy's prime when he's at his absolute best to go ahead and start comparing him to everybody else. The thing with that is Mahomes right now is 28. When Brady was 28, that was the 2005 season.
He had three already.
After he turned 28, he went on to play 17 more seasons and win 4 more Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I'm not really going to put Mahomes ahead of Brady anytime soon. Sorry.
And I understand.
I just watched a guy dominate in his mid-30s, in his late-30s, in his early-40s. The ability to play at that high a level and have that much success at that age in a sport that routinely spits guys out in their mid-20s,
yeah.
I'm going to have to see Mahomes do it at that age. Because to see it here is wonderful. It's remarkable. It's fantastic. I've seen Brady do that. Now do it in your 40s.
Will Mahomes' style of play allow him to do it until his late 30s? Because he moves around a heck of a lot more than Brady ever did. And Brady learned, I would say probably in his mid-30s, how to take a sack and not get hurt. Like the hits that Brady took late, he did not take them anywhere near at the same level that he did much earlier in his career. And I think we'd both agree, you know, Mahomes being on the move more is not necessarily conducive to long-term health.
His legs have been a big part of his greatness, but he's also very cerebral. The Baltimore game is an example of that. While he was mobile in that game, at the same time, he made a lot of plays in a lot of crucial spots where he wasn't running. Just drop back, get it out of your hands. Take the 4 yards that the Ravens were willing to give you. This is something Lamar Jackson and the Raven offense led by Todd Monken couldn't figure out to save their life. Like every play, they were trying to get 30 yards. Why? Why do you need 30 yards? Look at what Kansas City's doing. It's just death by 1,000 paper cuts. Here's a 4-yard completion on first down. Good, we're ahead of the sticks, 2nd and 6. Here's a 3-yard run to Isaiah Pacheco on 2nd down. Nice, it's 3rd and 3. It's manageable. Now we're thinking 4 down territory. So maybe we run it again and it's 4th and 1 and we convert. Or maybe we go ahead and throw to Kelsey for 5 yards and we've got a first down. Either way, he was very smart with that game plan. And when you're that cerebral of a quarterback, when you understand the game to that level, you can tailor your game to have success late in your career.
This is kind of what we were hearing from Harry Douglas, though, a few minutes ago. You asked him a question about which Harbaugh gets there first, and he couldn't answer it because Mahomes is still there.
Yeah.
Like, we have to factor that into everything, and that speaks to his greatness as well. It's hard for me after a season like this to doubt that he can get there that many more times when he got there with this offense the way it was.
Yeah, he's just going to need to catch a lot of fortunate breaks. He's going to have to stay healthy. Andy Reid retiring, what would end up happening to his team around him? Like, Tom Brady was able to stay healthy, have good players around him, keep his cap number down so he could bring in good players, recruit good players, and he had very good coaching. Like, some of those things can fall off, and that can hurt Mahomes, and it's no disrespect to him or no fault of his, but you need a lot of things to go right to win a Super Bowl.
Carlin versus Joe, ESPN Radio, and on the ESPN app. Why is it exactly that LeBron James and Rich Paul decided to just ruin our day before it even started? We will enlighten you in moments. Carlin versus Joe, you're welcome.
This is the Carlin versus Joe podcast on ESPN Radio.